Yes, hello everybody. We're back for a look at the weekend of boxing in the company of Steve Bunce. 15 minutes of chatting about some of the best bets we can find in the boxing world. We've got Cal Brook fighting this weekend. We've got the knockout artist Deontay Wilder and the man himself, Bernard Hopkins, to feature as well. You well, Buncey?
Never been better, Lee.
Excellent. Before we get onto the fights, Buncey, I was interested to see that... it's kind of being reported that Carl Froch is looking past George Groves, a cliched bad thing to do. He's talking about maybe Golovkin or Chavez Jr. being down the road. Two super fights, those, aren't they? Whether he's looking past Groves or not, I presume Froch doesn't look past anyone. He takes it pretty seriously, but they are some big fights, and that's where he is, isn't it, Froch?
That's where he is, but if you think about it, you know, even though Froch's run from 2009, I think, has been superb. I don't think there's any parallel in modern boxing or in boxing period. I think it's been fantastic. He's still, and people have to acknowledge this, he's still going just above the radar. He's not under it anymore. He's just above it. And what he needs a fight like this. He needs a big, sexy, odd fight. No disrespect to Kessler. He's a guy that's done his business in Denmark and Germany. Boutte's hidden away up in Canada. George Groves is terrific. London fighter. But he needs a bit of a crossover fighter here. So he needs to start looking at a Chavez at catchweight. At maybe Golovkin going up. Maybe Carl has to drop a pound. He needs to start looking at that sort of thing. Or a Hopkins fight. Or moving across and fighting Crusher Kovalev. Otherwise, he's going to have two or three more fights, and people are going to look back and say, yeah, it was a great run, but where was his big fight? And not necessarily a better opponent, but where was his big fight? Kessler Froch was brilliant, great business, it was fantastic, but as Joe Calzacchi pointed out recently, it sold 35,000 less than I sold when I fought Kessler. Mm. I mean, and that's going to be there. So the Golovkin fight, terrific. Ticks some boxes. A fight against Chavez, that ticks some big American boxes. And I think that's what Carl's probably missing in his resume.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned, and we were talking about Amir Khan fighting Floyd Mayweather, Froch could take some bums over to some Vegas seats as well, couldn't he, to be fair? Got a great following.
Carl Froch, I think, would take more with him on the road than Amir Khan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Carl's fans have been loyal. They made it through the volcanic ash to the middle of nowhere in Denmark. They made it through minus 30 to Helsinki. They've been sent to Atlantic City twice. People get less for crimes. So sending them to Las Vegas would be legendary. It'd be fantastic.
It'd be a great reward.
What they deserve, absolutely.
Exactly. Froch is 2-9 to beat Groves, by the way. Groves 100-30 in the draw, 28-1. It's fast approaching, along with some other great fights coming up, of course. One that's been announced recently was Tony Bellew's fight against Adonis Stevenson, which looks an absolute cracker as well. But we'll talk about those in the coming weeks, of course. We're here to talk about one of Sheffield's finest. Anyone saw the ringside Sheffield Steel special? We'll be looking forward to this one. Cal Brook back in the ring against Vyacheslav Shchenchenko, last seen on these shores, ending Ricky Hatton's career once and for all. And if you saw the Ricky Hatton documentary, you'll have seen a bit more about him recently. He's 5-1 to beat Cal Brook. Cal Brook is 8-1 on and 25-1 the draw. We've said it over and over again, and probably doesn't really need repeating too much, but you look and you think, when you look at the websites, Bunce, you say, yeah, he's fighting at the Motor Point Arena, Sheffield. There's no belt. Why is there no belt attached to any of these fights that Cal Brook's involved in? Shchenchenko looked a good fighter, didn't he? Looked all right. He had too much for Hatton on the night, but as we saw from that documentary, Hatton, there was obviously something missing. Cal Brook, he's promising he's going to batter this guy, and it wouldn't be a big surprise if he did batter this guy, to be fair, would it?
No, I think he's got to grab hold of this guy, because this guy was exposed and brutalised by Paulie Malignaggi, which is a sentence you don't often use, with Paulie Malignaggi's name in it. He did a good job on him, Paulie, smashed him a bit, took his title. He had the title for 3 years, but only had three defences. He's technically very good. I think he's sound. I think he can be broken. I think the crowd will play a part. Plus, I think we need to see a very aggressive Cal Brook. You know, here's a guy that should have been fighting for the world title late last year, early this year. Now we're not sure when he's fighting for it, if, in fact, he ever fights for it. I've given up counting how many so-called eliminators, or how many times I've heard different people say in the Cal Brook industry, I won't mention any names, but in the Kell book industry in general, say this is Kell's last fight before a world title. That goes back to about when he won the British title, which was 5.5 years ago. It's time. He's not 22 anymore, and he was stuck in I'm 22 bubble, which is a strange old thing to be stuck in. He's not. I think he's 27 years of age. Has to do a job here. Has to do a job so that everybody in the Kell book industry can say the one simple thing. Nobody's done Zinchenko like that. Bingo. That's the only sentence we want to hear before midnight on Saturday night. Nobody's beaten Zinchenko like that. Kell will do the same to Devin Alexander. That's a nice big sentence, the two little sentences we need. So he's got to do a job. He's got to jump on him. If he just scrambles through here, people will say, well, hold on a minute. Paulie Malignaggi, you can't break an egg, smash this guy to bits in eight rounds. So he's got to do a job. There's a lot of pressure on Kell in this fight. And you know what? I'm pleased with that because I think he's got his act together. He nearly derailed his career last year with that Carson Jones performance when he got it all wrong. Only trained for 5 rounds. Only realised when he got in the ring it was a 12-round fight. He's got to get his act together. We know he's got his act together from talking to Dominic and John Ingle in the gym. By the way, fantastic rings Sky show about the Ingle gym the other day on TV. He's got to get his act together. He's got to get in there, delight the home crowd, his devoted flock, and smash and try and get Zinchenko out of there and look good doing it. And then you've got a bit more of a stake, a bit more of a push getting to people like Alexander.
He looked in the rematch with Carson Jones. Took a while to get rid of. Yeah, and he looked destructive, didn't he? I mean, Carson Jones obviously, fairly tough customer. We know that, and he took a while to get rid of him, but he battered him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did in the first fight what we said on this podcast he would do. So he did in the second fight what we said on this podcast he'd do in the first fight. And we said then, this guy's a good fighter, Carson Jones. If you start to give him a bit of confidence, he'll give you hell. And that's what Kell did. Yeah. Okay, let's hope he doesn't let Zinchenko find any rhythm. You know, Ricky was doing a good job for 3 or 4 rounds. Yeah. And he sat down in about round 5, Ricky, as you said, in that really fantastic documentary. And you saw all the life, all the desire, and all the heart just sink out of Ricky. And he admitted it afterwards. There was a point he said, I think after 5 rounds, I knew I had nothing left. He told me that last week at ringside with the fights that we were doing last week. I don't think that would be the case against... Zinchenko's not going to break Kell Brooks' heart. Kell Brooks braver than people think. Kell has to do a job. He will do a job. I don't know what the rounds are, but I'm liking 7, 8 and 9.
All right, that late, yeah. I was wondering what you would... whether you would go early or late.
I think it's that late. I don't...
Yeah. 4-1.
That's it. I like that. That's not a bad bet, that.
No. Yeah, I was
wondering what you said. It's not quite menu at home to Palace, but it's not a bad bet.
Just quickly on that Hatton documentary, Buncey, a quick tangent, but Zinchenko's fighting, so we can probably do it. It was a raw documentary, wasn't it? You know, from a kind of production point of view, it was the access they gave him was fantastic. I mean, everything from being in his at home and that kind of that. It's interesting they didn't show the build up week to the fight where he was just starting to get niggly about 5 days before with his missus, and then you cut to that dressing room. I mean, my heart was pounding watching him. He seemed so nervous, didn't he, before the fight for Ricky?
You know what? It was to get rid of the omnipresent narrator. Was brilliant.
Yes, it was.
They did the right thing. There was just a couple. I would have heaved out of there a couple of the PR people that appeared and vanished as quickly in Ricky's life. Those two or three guys that were standing around talking, who were telling us, who were saying the obvious. You know, there was one guy that came up with some PR line, said, "That's the line," and he sort of bent his knees and put his hands in the air like a badly acted PR man. I would have got rid of those two. I would have evicted them for the 2 minutes that they dominated the screen. Other than that, it was nearly flawless. Mm. But those two, I don't like PR people and people with clipboards anyway. I've got an allergy against them. We did fairly well in boxing.
PR-itis, it's called.
People made millions. People got rich. Fans are entertained before somebody came in, having never worked in boxing, and started, quotes, telling us how to run our business, end quotes. And they never last, these guys. They always go off to some other sport, you know. Anyway, carry on, Lee.
Yeah, so Brooke in 7-9 then, we like that one.
I'm liking 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Let's have a look. On that same bill, by the way, no betting on this, but just out of interest, Anthony Joshua back in the ring. It's Paul Butler and Khalid Afai is back in the ring as well. Two of the young hopefuls in the British boxing scene. So I'm sure you'll be watching those. But just a quick mention of those two exciting fighters. Another exciting fighter, Buncey, is going to be featured on Box Nation this weekend. Deontay Wilder. I love fighters who've got a record like this. 29 fights, 29 wins. 29 knockouts. That's what you want, isn't it? I mean, you look at the list of knockouts, Buncey. 1-1-2-3-2-1-3-1-4-1-3. You know what I'm saying here, the rounds.
17 in the first round, if I'm not mistaken.
Unbelievable.
29 in total. He's done an Olympic champion and a former world champion this year. Yeah. People will say, oh, yeah, but he's fighting bums. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I talked to Ricky Hatton about this, and I talked to Joe Calzacchi about this all in the last week. Now, those two know a little thing. You've still got to be fit. You've still got to not get hit. You've still got to hit them, take them out. You've still got to take your mind away from the distractions that are thrown your way. You've still got to do it. You've still got to concentrate. And these guys, that's what I like about Wilder. Here's a kid, Wilder, okay, who might just be a bit better than we give him credit for. And I'll tell you what, I've done a column about this in The Independent. And I'll tell you why I like him a little bit. I like him a lot, actually. A, he's a good character. He's entertaining. He can bang. He fights with his heart. But have you seen the YouTube clip of him getting hit on the chin by David Haye?
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, I tell you what, if you're listening to this, get on it, pause this, go and find it. They're having a sparring session. It's savage. They've got headgear on. They've got no tops on. It is a savage sparring session. And Haye shows the left, the classic, then starts to dip down to the left all in one motion and throws a right hand. It is the classic haymaker. It would have taken out any heavyweight. It's taken out a lot of heavyweights. It would have taken out anybody. And he takes it, Wilder, flush on the chin, not on the ear, not on the neck, not on the shoulder, flush on the chin. There's about 5 seconds left in the round and he smashes David Haye back to the ropes and the bell sounds probably early with Haye taking about 15 punches. If you just Google it straight away, Haye Wilder, there's just a loop on one particular YouTube shot of that action. It lasts 10 seconds and it's just looping.
Great.
Unbelievable.
We'll check
that out.
Yeah.
I mean, Haye said, take a punch, Smith.
Yeah. And Haye said, you know, Haye was quite open about it, wasn't he? Like, he hits hard, this kid. You know, it's not like he's not messing about in there. But let's talk about Nicolai Fertitta, because it's easy just to say, right, he blasts everyone out in rounds 1-3. Fertitta, his record is 21 wins, 8 stoppages. He's lost 10. He's been knocked out 4 times and drawn once. Nothing to write home about. He's 34 years old. But he's been 10 rounds with Povetkin. He's been 12 rounds with Jonathan Banks. Mm-hmm. You know,
he was having a proper war with Tyson Fury before he got done in about 5 or 6.
The value,
he's tough.
The value, Buncey, here, obviously, is taking Deontay Wilder in some later rounds. You know, you get odds against prices about Deontay Wilder stopping the fight in rounds 4-6. In rounds 1-3, he is 3-1 on. He's 1-3 to stop Fertitta in rounds 1-3. Can you make an argument for Wilder to be taken into the fourth round and bigger? He has gone 4 rounds before with other fighters, incidentally.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, Fertitta is a guy that works his bank account by bouncing between fights where he picks up a few quid. He doesn't want to be done in the first, second or third round. I think Deontay Wilder's been in the fourth about 2 or 3 times. I wouldn't be at all surprised this goes a bit longer. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this is a fight that breaks the sequence.
Interesting then. Yeah.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
You still think he stops him, though?
I still I think he gets past the fourth. Hey, listen, what is it, 6 or 8, Lee? What have they got it for?
Let's have a look here. We've got in rounds 4-6, you can get 11-4, so just under 3-1. Deontay Wilder in, let's have a look, at 7-10. Round 7-10 is 11-2.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's basically.
You know what?
Actually, second half of the fight, round 6-10 is 4-1.
Oh, you know what? Second half of the fight.
Yeah. So
6-10.
Yeah.
I fancy at that point. Yeah, go a bit longer.
Yeah.
I fancy you might see a bit more. I think Wilder might actually show us a little bit more.
Yeah.
Go a little bit longer. Wilder to win, but stoppage after five.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, the main event on that, Bill, is Bernard Hopkins. His 62nd fight in his 49th year. He's won 53 of them, stopped 32 opponents. He's lost six times and he's drawn a couple. He's 8-1 on to beat Karo Murat, who is obviously a bit younger than his opponent. He's had 25 wins, 15 by stoppage. He's lost once and he was stopped by Nathan Cleverley, of course. It seems a while ago that now, doesn't it? Since then, since then he's been fighting fighters who have got pretty big numbers in the middle column, you would say.
Absolutely.
For a man of his his level. IBF light heavyweight title. Hopkins himself, recent form, he's won two of the last five, hasn't he, Bunce? He had a draw against Jean Pascal, he had the no contest against Chad Dawson, then he lost to Chad Dawson, then he beat Tavoris Cloud, ended his O. You know, if you look at the details of that fight, if you remember it, Cloud suffered two cuts from two headbutts, both accidental.
Yeah.
But we know about Bernard Hopkins doesn't mind Hopkins. Mixing it, does he?
No, that's,
to be fair.
He does what he has to do.
Yeah.
What's interesting here is that he's not famous, Bernard, for fighting European fighters. I don't classify Calzacchi as one. And I think Bernard might have a field day here.
Right.
I think he might actually be amazed at how easy it is for him to look good against Murat. I equally believe that even though the people looking after Murat don't, I think Murat might be a bit overawed by it.
Right, okay.
A bit intimidating. Bernard will get in his face, as he has been doing, and he'll continue to get in his face. And also Hopkins, I think he's a bit miffed, Hopkins, that he's been, that Adonis Stevenson has been, you know, been getting a lot of plaudits. I know he caught Dawson on the chin, that type of stuff, but he's been getting a bit of plaudits and people considering him the number one. And Bernard would be looking at Stevenson and thinking, this guy is not big enough, he's not clever enough, he's not smart enough, I've been in with bigger bangers, I'm a better fighter than him. So he might be treating this Bernard like he's got to get it out of the way. Don't be at all surprised if we see a performance from Bernard where he literally, I know we've said this before, we've been saying it for 15 years, turns back the clock. I fancy Bernard, I fancy him big. I think we might be on a stoppage here.
Yeah.
I think Murat will be drained by it all. I don't think Murat's got the power to hurt Hopkins. He's certainly busy enough, but all Hopkins needs to do is adjust his feet by 3 inches, move his shoulder by an inch, and every punch that Murat's going to throw is going to miss. Then he'll adjust again. You know, he's that good, Hopkins, okay? Murat's a terrific European-level fighter. He's in a great scrap with Cleverley, who's found himself stuck at that same level. We'll find out in the next 6 months whether we can move on, progress back to where we thought he was going. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see a brilliant job from Hopkins. Because also, if Hopkins gets him hurt, feels he can hurt him, don't think Hopkins is going to go 12 rounds then. Hopkins don't get, you know, it's that expression, no one gets paid for overtime. If Hopkins thinks he can get Murat out, or get him out, Hopkins knew he couldn't get those other fighters out. He knew they were too physically strong and young and youthful and clever. He won't feel the same. He won't have that same degree of safety first against Murat. If he half clips him, and if he's in close and he can feel Murat's strength sapping, or maybe feel his breathing increase, Bernard will step on the gas. Trust me. Got to go 12 rounds. It's not really in his contract. He just likes it. It's easy.
4-1, Buncey, for a stoppage for Hopkins.
That's a good bet. That is the bet of the weekend.
Yeah.
Period.
Big price, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. I tell you what, that is a good bet.
Yeah.
Hopkins to perform and do the business, because also he's. Yeah, he'll want to be ringside when Bellew fights Stevenson, issuing challenges. Okay, he'll want to be building up to an enormous payday with Kovalev next year.
In his 50th year.
Bingo, and he needs to do it. And what better way to throw that metaphorical spear into the ground than to smash to bits Karo Murat, his mandatory challenger.
Some nice prices there. The Deontay Wilder doing it late. Hopkins stopping Murat is a nice one, isn't it? Yeah. And Brook to win in the second half of his fight as well. Some nice prices there, Buncey. Thanks for your time today. Enjoy the weekend and we'll speak to you very soon.
Lee, thanks very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.